Welcome to the Kingdom Conversations Quadcast. My name is Curtis, and I work right now as a worship director for a small local church in the Cincinnati area, and I'm a father of two children who are awesome little people.
They are awesome little people. My name is Sally, and I'm married to Curtis, and I also have two awesome little people, and I work in research and development. I'm a veterinarian, work in veterinary nutrition, and I also live in the Cincinnati area.
Hallelujah.
We live together.
My name is Anne, and I am Sally's big sister, even though I'm shorter than she is. I'm older, so. And I just moved to the Cincinnati area where it is way too cold. And I am a dental assistant in California. I was cool and I was an RDA. And here in Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm not cool. I'm just a lowly DA because I'm not licensed out here. And that's about it. I'm married to the handsome man sitting on my left that you guys can't see, but you'll hear him soon.
The one who's wearing a jacket because he's cold, because yes, I too am from California. Still getting used to Ohio. My name is Sean. I am the big sister's husband, Miss Ann. I actually am a chaplain in a healthcare facility right now, where I'm privileged to serve people that are going through a whole lot rougher stuff than I am. I recently turned 48, getting used to knocking on the door of the big 5-0. That's a scary thing. But I figure since I made it through 30 and 40, God will get me through that one as well. So good to be here with you all.
So we are doing this podcast because we want to talk about real life. We want to connect people who are going through real life with the kingdom of God in a way that we feel is underrepresented in the podcast community right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of this vision is, like Curtis said, connecting people, hearing people's stories. I just love to hear people's stories, have them share, you know, their testimony, but just it's a way for us to gain a broader perspective.
Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoy when Christians can have conversations that aren't in some sort of like a Christian format, that they can actually come out of their Christian jargon and vocabulary and mindsets even, and just talk to people that don't have the same perspective that they do in a way where they're talking about kingdom issues and applying kingdom issues to just normal everyday issues. I'm saying the word issues too much, but in a manner that doesn't sound like cookie cutter Christian jargon. And so that's what I'm really excited and hopeful for this podcast.
One of the things that's really just resonating in my heart is stories too, as well. Hearing people's stories. I'm an audiobook junkie. One of the biggest things I love to listen to is people's autobiographies. I think of one I read that really spoke to me was Unbroken. Certainly talking about an amazing individual, Mr. Louis Zamperini, who went through just amazing stuff, very heartbreaking, very exciting, stuff that'll make you angry, but all the elements of a good story. In his case, of course, that story was true. And of course, the most powerful story that has affected my life is, as cliche as it may seem, was the story of Christ, which I really got familiar with when I was in Saudi Arabia serving in the United States Marine Corps. And I must say that was the one story that changed my life more than any other. So I'm excited to hear more stories to feed my soul and to hear my colleagues' stories, but to be able to share those stories and bring about other stories and to affect other people and inspire them. And so that's what I hope.
We want to spend some time in the next four episodes to really go through each of our stories, but today we're just going to quickly give a little background?
So the funny thing is that I met Sally. I met Sally's sister first. Mm-hmm. And I met Sally's sister and her husband, Sean, at the same Bible college that mm-hmm. that we all graduated from. We all graduated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did. My memory's getting fuzzy on me as I'm getting older, but I do believe that is accurate.
So we all graduated mm-hmm. from the same Bible college. But before that happened, Anne kept trying to introduce me to her sister. Mm-hmm. And eventually that did happen.
Do you remember what we were doing when I was like, because we were hanging out a bit, not like a ton, but we were being like forced, not forced, but like... We were hanging out. Do you remember what we were doing?
No, what were we doing?
We were student body, like, representatives.
Oh, that's right. Student body. And Kevin Hill was our president.
Now you've got to get Kevin Hill's permission
on
our podcast. Sorry, Kevin. But yeah,
I could have just bleeped it. Now you guys said it like four more times.
Yeah, so we were in student body council, and I can't remember. I think I was like treasurer. I can't remember what all of us were.
Were you on the student body council, Sean?
Yeah.
I was.
He was. All three of us.
You guys were all such high achievers.
Right?
It's very studious of you.
And Sean, I remember Curtis. I heard Curtis talking to another guy in our Bible college. He was like, I'm never going to find a wife. Or I'm never, like, he said something like that. And I was like, because you won't meet my sister. And yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
That eventually did happen, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where did you meet? We met at a concert at a church in Sacramento, California.
Whose concert? You should say whose concert so we can make him force him to be on our podcast.
Yeah. It was a Matt Carney concert. The funny thing is that I didn't know Curtis was going to be there.
Yes, because, you did.
No,
you
I didn't.
Didn't know?
I didn't. I had no idea. Because a couple of weeks before the concert, Anne was trying to get Curtis to come out with us on Halloween.
Yes, and I remember that.
Curtis had a paper to write. And
that's right.
Because I procrastinate.
Yeah. And I
he
Anne,
was nervous and
I procrastinated.
Yeah. I just didn't want to meet
no,
you.
No. Anne got him on the phone and then she put me on the phone to try to talk me into coming out. And he said, it's nothing personal. I just have to write this paper.
Nice lead-in.
And I don't know. I
don't have good people skills.
So I was like, all right. And then I was just like, okay, whatever.
Because I'm
maybe
a doctor
I'm not
going to
meet this guy, but I tried and he just shut me down, even though it wasn't personal. But Anne didn't. Apparently, Anne was setting up the next opportunity, but never told me. So I was just waiting at the concert, standing there.
I don't think
and
this
guy
is the
comes
story
over
I
and
tell.
Says, are you Anne's sister? And then I like put it together like, oh, this must be that guy, Curtis. And my first thought was, he looks kind of young. But you are a little bit younger than me.
Cougar.
What, like 6 months? How much younger are you? Three
like
years,
12
four
days.
Years, 5 years.
3 years.
Three
it's
years.
Like a little under.
About almost the same difference as we are.
Well, it's not quite a full 3 years, but right now we're 2 years apart because he just had his birthday. And
cradle robber.
Mine hasn't come this year.
And I was like asking Sean, why is Curtis so quiet? He's acting so
weird.
He was so quiet.
I was shocked that it was actually your sister, to be honest with you, because I didn't recognize her from mm-hmm. the picture you showed me.
Yeah.
But when I saw her, I was like, oh, this is the person I'm going to marry. And so I walked up to her and asked her if she was your sister. And because I was like, I didn't really care if she was or not. I was like, this is the person I'm going to be talking to tonight. And then I got all quiet because I'm socially awkward.
And I was probably awkward too because I wasn't mentally prepared
to
see you there.
He was Twitter painted is what it was. He was.
So
yeah.
It was cute.
And then after the concert, we went to get coffee. And that's when we really bonded. Because we had a theological, is that a word? Am I saying right?
Theological
debate. You're right.
Yes. And
free will versus Calvinism.
Yes. And Curtis and I had the same point of view. And you guys had the other point of view. And
Sally
we were
and
just
I,
like, what is wrong with them? Like
Sally and I did not even say anything directly to each other. We just took turns arguing with you.
That's
from
okay.
our point of view.
I love it.
And then at the end of the night, I was just like, hey, we should
You guys were united against the common enemy.
Yeah. No, we didn't. I didn't try to take her looking for rings until like 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
That's funny. Did you know Anne and Sean before they were married? Or did you always know them as a married couple? Because they also met at Trinity Life, right?
Right.
We did.
No, no. You were married.
That's what I was
when
trying.
When did you first start going?
I don't remember.
We got
the
married
year.
In 2002. The fall of September of 2002.
Yeah, we met in 2004.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, she did warn me that you were kind of a moody artist. But it was funny because when we were first dating, I didn't really see that. So, like, I could kind of imagine it, but I was like, he doesn't seem moody.
Oh, I was smitten.
Aww.
Was that a fair assessment, though?
Yeah. So tell us when you guys met. Because there was no one to bring you together. Who brought you guys together?
Our initial meet was in axe class. Where we had axe class together. And the part that I remember first noticing Anne was we were supposed to do skits. We were supposed to do skits where we'd take a character from the Book of Acts and we'd get up in front of the class and do a reading or a reenactment of some sort. Mm-hmm. And then she did Mary Magdalene and dressed up all, had a headscarf on and did a reading. And I was leaning forward and leaning in there and really watching her and giving her my undivided attention.
He screwed me up so bad. I was like, oh my goodness.
So I got a chance to start talking to her a little bit in axe class, but we didn't nothing really took off in axe class.
Well, I saw you before axe class because I remember the first time I saw you was in chapel. And again, I remember every detail. You were standing against the back wall and you were wearing a Green Bay Packers t-shirt.
I remember.
And you had your cross on and you had some jeans, those cargo jeans, and you had Doc Martens on.
Tommy Hilfigers.
Yeah. I remember the whole thing. I remember just seeing him and being like, oh my gosh, the guy's so cute. And I remember thinking to myself, he's got to be married. You can't be, you're at Bible college, act right. Don't be like scoping out some married dude. And then so after that, I was on this like mission to see if you had a wedding ring. Then you didn't. And then I was just like, okay, so he's got to be dating the cutest, you know, girl here. And then we were later, I heard somebody else ask you, do you have a girlfriend? You were like, no, I'm single. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And then we had axe class. And it was crazy because he was the Holy Spirit. He did his skit on the Holy Spirit.
Sorry, Warren. She didn't mean literally the Holy Spirit, but I got to play you.
He put all these fans on.
It
was pretty
job,
funny.
By the way.
But I remember walking behind him. I was walking behind him. And I'm like about to lean away from the microphone. He stretched out. He like leaned back in his chair and stretched out and he put his arms back and he kind of touched me a little bit. And he was like, oh, sorry. And I was like, oh my gosh, I like have the biggest crush on this guy. But he would not pay attention to me. I was trying to figure out a way to flirt, but still be like a godly woman.
Is that possible? I did push-ups for him.
I showed him how many push-ups I could do. Do you remember this?
How did this conversation start? You're like, hey, you were a Marine. Guess what? I can do some push-ups.
I think it might have went down something like that, actually.
Did you kind of like egg it on? Like, yeah, drop and give me 20?
Drop down and give me 20.
Do you remember that?
I do.
And then I was like,
she had good form. And that's where I knew.
We're going to a POD concert.
That's when you know.
We're going to a POD concert, and I told him I could get him a ticket, and I gave him my number. Did he call? No.
Now you got to let him marinate. You got to let him marinate a while.
You were playing hard to get? Oh, my goodness.
I'll get into my background later, which kind
of
prompted some of this behavior. It was wrong, but... I was scared. I had been out of circulation for a while. Some of my own dysfunction when I was younger was alcoholism. And that kind of became a reclusive thing. So I was somewhat shy in some regards. Mm-hmm. So that's why that was. But it actually really we took off, though, when in Genesis
after
class.
After Genesis class.
That so went from Acts back to the beginning
to
Genesis.
Back to the beginning.
Had to go back to the beginning.
Wow.
And
were there skits in Genesis?
There was no skits in Genesis, there but there was just
teacher.
Hard labor. Mm-hmm. We had
a
psycho,
brutal.
Probably one of the more difficult professors that assigned the most homework. So it was probably this intense environment where we bonded together for our own mutual survival.
He was an evolutionary biologist.
A marine evolutionary biologist.
A marine evolutionary biologist that came to faith in Christ through evolutionary biology.
Through his research.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was right near, we were setting in the class towards mm-hmm. the end, and the new set, the first installment of the second set of Star Wars movies was coming
mm-hmm.
out. And I said something about going to see Star Wars.
Yep. And what did I say?
And you said, so, Sean, you're taking me to see Star Wars.
I said, you're taking me to the movies, are ya?
Do you want to go? He says, matter of fact, I do. Something of that nature. I'm paraphrasing.
And
a bit
like,
there.
If this is going to move forward, I'm going to have to put a little bit of.
I totally, and when I said it, because I was like, oh, so you're taking me to the movies, are ya? And then as soon as I said it, I was like, you're going to get kicked out of Bible college right now. And girls, you know.
Well, you were
hussy,
Mary Magdalene,
right?
So, you know.
Right. So anyway, I gave him my phone number and he called. And then my boss hated him because my boss was like, you're broken. You haven't talked all day. It's making me crazy. And we got married.
Is that when you were... That's when you were living with me
in
Davis.
And I was grooming dogs, yeah. And we got married about three and a half months later.
Well, I think our first, we went to see the show mm-hmm. right after school let out for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were together all the time, mm-hmm. or quite a bit, mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. summer. And
did you get married that October?
September.
The wedding date kept getting 19th. Shorter and shorter yeah. and shorter. We renegotiated that thing probably three, four times.
Yeah, it went from like January to
it went from a year out and kept moving further.
To like 2 weeks out. To
yeah.
like, let's just go get married.
Let's
this
go
weekend.
To Tahoe.
Yeah, so
you
that's
guys
what
got
happened.
Got married in Tahoe.
Got married in Tahoe.
It was a nice wedding.
Thank you.
It was. Who would have thought that a wedding at a casino could have been that nice?
Right. Oh my gosh, your guys' wedding was so pretty though. Your guys' wedding, I have good memories.
Hey,
your guys's
for the
wedding.
Person that conducted it at 104 degree temperature, it was,
right?
It could have been better, at least temperature wise.
Yes, so just to catch everybody up to speed, Sean officiated our wedding, Curtis and I's wedding. So.
And thanks to Sean, Curtis almost never got to kiss the bride.
Oh, yeah, he forgot to,
he forgot to say you were
kissing
the bride.
I still think about that.
I was going to kiss the bride. I was like, all right, this is happening.
He was looking at me like, dude, this is the only part of the darn ceremony I even care about. So.
And you guys remember Sean forgot his shirt?
No.
Do you remember this?
Yes, I had to wear Tom's puffy shirt.
He had my
like
dad's puffy shirt
episode,
under.
Man.
My skirt was wrong. And
I remember your skirt being wrong.
Yeah, Anne comes out and I go, why is your skirt long? And you were like, what?
It's not my skirt.
Everybody else has like skirts that are like right knee length. Mine's like clear down to my ankles.
It was July and it was an outside wedding. So.
It was so hot, but oh my gosh.
I
and
got
then,
to a point I couldn't even see my notes anymore. I had sweat in
then,
my eyes.
The cake melted, but the big one was the wedding rings because Curtis like set them somewhere.
No, my dad.
Your dad set them on a chair in the very front row.
It was like, uh-oh, we got a frowny face.
The DJ saw them and thought he should pick them up, which is smart. But then he just stuck them in his pocket and completely forgot that he had done it. And so yeah. we were having like nervous breakdowns.
And this happened to a moody artist type.
This happened to a moody artist type. Do you remember Curtis throwing his jacket? He like threw his jacket.
Oh yeah, it was right there. Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. It
when
was
the rings
fantastic.
Were gone?
You were upset.
Well, could you blame me?
No.
I'm just stating. And I got to go out to do this to your little nephew throwing up.
Oh yeah, I remember that. The ring bearer
could not hold his. I was like, I'm already
nervous.
I don't need to see that. I feel like that kid. Poor kid.
Your guys' wedding was the best.
It was a great wedding.
It was a great wedding.
You know, the interesting thing about our wedding is that when I started Bible college, I gave up alcohol completely. And I didn't drink through until our wedding, actually. Communion wine was the first sip of alcohol I had since giving it up and becoming a Christian, going to Bible college, because I thought that's what you had to do to be a Christian or something like that. That was part of my extremism. You know, I stopped drinking, mm-hmm. and then I remained abstinent from it until my wedding
night.
And that's when I first drank wine again. Mm-hmm. And that was where Jesus performed his first miracle.
Right.
It was at the wedding.
Can somebody read it? Read that passage. John 2:1-11.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to them, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." So they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called to the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
I mean, it seems like it was important to keep the celebration going. Mm-hmm. I mean, why was Jesus's mom, why did she become involved and say, "Come on, we got to do something"?
I mean, weddings were big deals back in that day, weren't they? Like, they weren't like the afternoon party that we have.
No, they paraded through the streets, and it was a festival that united people, and it was more of a community type thing, and they were very much a community. Culture was more relational in many regards than our modern Western culture, so a lot of people could be involved.
I wonder if running out of wine in such a scenario would be almost a shameful thing to...
They are very much a honor-shame culture, so that would have been quite a big shaming right there to not be able to, as a host, provide for the needs of the party.
So Jesus, knowing that his time had not yet come, decided to come out early to help someone not be shamed.
Yeah, and it actually turned out to be a big honor, and they were, you know, it was taken note that it was a very good choice wine, you know, and that most people would save the cheap wine till now. So it went from a potential shame to being honored, respected. So it is kind of cool, because I think a lot of times you think about, oh, the first miracle was water in the wine, and it seems like literally a party trick.
Yeah.
But if you look at the meaning, it was helping to prevent that piece of shame coming on the family. Or
he took on the shame. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because in a way, was he thinking, is this what the first miracle I want to be known for? Or I mean, it probably wasn't having these same thoughts, but you know,
he's thinking like, the 19th century, these kids, and this is going to,
Well, it's interesting how different cultures will view this whole scene, where we'll have such a fixation because alcohol is such a big issue or problem in that nature. We'll focus on the fact that it's wine, whereas one of the other aspects, and probably because of their culture, the big thing was that this couple was honored and this relationship thing would have been the focus, that there was this wonderful thing done to bless people and take care of people and to protect people, would have been viewed more as the focus rather than the fact that this wine issue, it would have been more of the relational aspect that would have been highlighted, which is what God's all about, which is what my marriage is such a picture of God and his people.
There's so much in that story. It's so sad. It's such a tragedy that we now turn it into this discussion about whether Christians should drink or not. Or, you know, I remember in Bible college, just like the conversation about it being wine was so much that it was even like discussing like the alcohol content of the wine. What proof was this wine? And it's just, it's a tragedy. It's an actual, just such a devastation to the story, because Jesus taking shame and giving it honor is basically the gospel. And then just where it was happening at a wedding, you know, I mean, there's so many foreshadowing. Thank you. Oh my goodness. There's so much foreshadowing in that story and just where it was and what was going on, you know, and it's sad. It's super sad to me that we now, can't get past that. It's, you know, should we drink or should we not? Like, there's just something, a whole other thing.
But that's what the devil does, though, right? I mean, if he can't make you bad, he's going to make you busy. And right. So he's made us busy discussing things that aren't actually relevant to the gospel.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we were talking and sharing about how we got to know each other. And we ended talking about our wedding. Mm-hmm. And it really was like a day of celebrating, bringing, I mean, I'm sure not just our wedding, but I mean, anyone's wedding. But I mean, I guess people that have been married have that memory of, you know, when you bring the families together and it's a special day. And
think about the first significant human relationship was really a marriage. Mm-hmm. It was the first thing that God was there to really preside over. And it kind of makes sense that his first miracle where he would show himself again was at a marriage. And kind of a way of kind of starting with the beginning again as he kind of came out in his ministry. And it's all about relationships. It's all about, and there's no more significant. I mean, let's face it, greatest commandments are love God, love people. And it's like, what other image of what relationship do you have that is supposed to best capture that love? It's the marriage relationship, which is what God's all about. And one day being invited to another marriage where we'll be united in a special way with God forever, which is what he intended from the very beginning. That's an kind of, as I'm thinking and we're talking, that's an exciting thing about God and what a relational being person God is. And what we have to look forward to with that wonderful person.
Yeah, if we think about the analogies we have with God and Jesus, it's the bride and the groom, but also, you know, the father and family. Those are like, we go through life and like we understand as a child what it's like to have a father. And then we get older and we understand what it's like to have a marriage. And then you have kids. I'll get emotional because like it just gets more and more, like then you understand and you're almost like, wow, I have kids and I understand what that's like. But
so in Genesis they say that God created male and female in the image of God, and we call God the Father and Jesus the Son, but the Holy Spirit we call the Holy Spirit. We don't call the Holy Spirit the Mother. Mm-hmm. You ever think that's weird? Or is it just me? Mm-hmm. It's totally off topic, or maybe a topic for another podcast. But
it's, you know, I mean, you got the first thing that's about God, God being a relational person. You got three persons that have been eternally in a relationship with each other. Again, it just... it makes sense that that imagery that created us in would be to, that's part of God's image, is a relational person who's a being that's had three persons that have been in consistent, harmonious relationship for all eternity. It makes sense that that reflection would be a relationship as piece of that. But I've thought of, you know, I see the feeling and different things that I see some feminine touches with the Holy Spirit. I can kind of see that imagery with brooding and feeling and inspiration and power and fire and different things of passion and different things that the Holy Spirit manifests in power and I've kind of see that in different places throughout scripture. Kind
reminds
of embody
me of,
that.
Of an autism mama bear.
I was thinking about how like the breath of life, you know, and the mother, the woman being like the giver of life or, you know, in the same way. But even though, of course, it takes both the parents, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do always kind of see the Holy Spirit as mother. But I think the book The Shack kind of like made me start doing that again, even though in the Bible it's clear that the Bible is speaking about the Holy Spirit in a male sense, I don't know what I'm saying, but
well, if we could get into that conversation,
right. Well, like,
the imagery that takes place for all three members of the royal family, so to speak, that uses male female imagery for both. You know, Christ saying, "I long to take you under my, you know, I fed you at my breast."
Right.
You know, that's spoken about in different ways about God the
Father.
You know,
right.
So those imageries are used for God. So it's where I see the Holy Spirit manifest some things that I see that way. That imagery and language, God, by the Holy Spirit, saw fit to use about himself, about God's self. If we truly are in the image of God, it makes sense that both qualities were both pictures of that part that's in God and has been there all eternity.
But it's probably more like each person of the Holy Trinity has those characteristics rather than God the Father has all the male characteristics and the Holy Spirit has all the female characteristics and Jesus is
they are
their kid. Like,
yeah.
It's not like that.
Mm-hmm. And yet in some sense it kind of is, but it's that mystery thing. But fly off topic myself. Yeah.
This is a topic I need to research.
We should talk about this on one of our next podcasts.
Yeah, it'll be a good idea.
I think we've come full circle, really. We talked about how we met. We talked about marriage. We talked about Jesus at weddings and the family dynamic of the Godhead.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
Sounds like a kingdom conversation.
Sounds like a kingdom conversation to me. So join us next week when we will start going into more details about our own personal journeys of faith and life struggles.
Yeah, so check out our website. It's kingdom-conversations.com. And as Curtis was mentioning, we want to take some time to go in each of our stories individually before we start interviewing some other people and getting into some other topics. So check us out on our website. And that next week we're going to have a really exciting one. We're going to talk to Sean and we're going to get a little bit more into his story. So be looking forward to that. Make sure you check it out when it comes out on Friday or whatever day we post these things. And then we say, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.